sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, it is great to be with you on a Friday from the Sunbury Motor Studio. And we're going to take you around a little trip today. We're going to take you to Indianapolis for the Big Ten Women's Tournament. We're going to take you to West Lafayette for the Big Ten Wrestling Championships. We're also going to talk with one of Sunbury's own who's making his mark in television, who will be with us live here in the Sunbury Motor Studio as well. Kevin had a series of guests all set up for today, but we rejected them.
I've been rejected like a three-pointer.
I mean, I said, I'm sorry, we can't have the janitor on. I know you think he's intriguing.
He's a really good guy.
I'm sure he's really terrific. But we're not going to go that direction. I made other decisions.
Executive-style decisions.
Somebody had to.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
I mean, so we made other decisions. And we're looking forward to hearing our guests today talking with them.
If we say spanning the globe, do we have to pay ABC for that?
What?
Well, because I'm thinking of all the things, you know, we're going to be a lot of different places, spanning the globe kind of came to mind. But I figured if we said that in ways of promoting what we're doing here today, that we might have to pay ABC for the term spanning the globe.
Spanning the globe?
Well, all right, maybe spanning the country then. How's that?
Spanning?
Yes. Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
Maybe I do. All right. Well,
quit playing.
Let's start out in Indianapolis. All right? We're going to span the state of Indiana. And it's important. This is a fun time of the year. It's a great time of the year. Because it's a fun and it's a great time of the year where you have the women's basketball tournament going on. You have the Big Ten Wrestling Championships going on. Oh, and by the way, we'll also preview men's basketball, Penn State and Michigan, with Cam Woodyard and Billy Oliver. Kevin had, he said, I have some great guests. I said, great. I said, he had the guy that actually, I guess, does stadium cleanup over at Bucknell?
No. He turns the lights on. There's a lot of lights.
I said, Kevin, we might be able to do better than that. We start out with Brian Tripp. Brian Tripp is the color analyst for the Lady Lion Basketball Radio Network. He is in Indianapolis at the Fieldhouse, where Penn State will be in action taking on Minnesota tonight. And let's join Brian in Indy. Indianapolis, where Brian is getting ready to call tonight's game between the Lady Lions and Minnesota. Brian, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. I heard the little crack in the beginning about how the show is the way it's supposed to be. While it is in good hands with Bob, I do take that very personally.
It's okay, Brian.
No, things are good here in Indianapolis. Just got back from the team shoot-around. Had to dodge a big hailstorm on the way there, but we made it successfully, and the team seems ready to go. They really do.
All right, let's talk about the matchup. I mean, for you, this has to be the best of all worlds. You just prepared for this team as a broadcaster on Sunday when the Lady Lions in the Jordan Center just sliced and diced them, and the guard play was superior. So for you as a broadcaster, it's an easy preparation. Obviously, the question is, how easy a preparation is it now for the Lady Lions because of this situation?
I think it's a really easy preparation. Minnesota doesn't have a whole lot of time to change things, especially because they just got throttled on the road at the Jordan Center. And Minnesota struggled all year on the road away from the barn. So we'll see how they are on a neutral court here. But, yeah, they do not have a whole lot of time to change offense or instill some things. Not that you would this time of year, but for them going against the Lady Lions again, not a favorable matchup because the confidence is all with Penn State right now. And in terms of preparing for a team that you just got really manhandled by, you they can't like what they see on the film, and that film has to be hard to watch from what we saw last Sunday.
Yeah, I'm sure it was very difficult for them to watch. They won last night against Wisconsin. They fell behind early, Minnesota did, and then Minnesota was able to then really kick it into gear. They won the game with relative ease. Did you get a chance to see any of that game along the way? And if so, what were your thoughts?
I didn't really get a chance to see most of the game. I did check out the box score and checked out some of the stuff that Minnesota did. They shot the ball really well, got great guard play. Kiara Buford had a great game scoring. Her numbers were outstanding. And their starters also only averaged 23 minutes in the game, so they did get some rest. Much like Michigan State, one of the potential opponents in the semifinals should the Lady Lions get there. The Spartan starters only played 18 minutes on average last night against Indiana, so they'll have to go through Purdue, obviously. But Minnesota got starters rest, but when they were in, they played lights out, shooting the ball really well. And if they can shoot the ball better against Penn State, I expect a pretty good game here today.
Well, that will be one of the keys. When they played on Sunday at the Jordan Center, the Pink Zone game, the Lady Lions obviously had the crowd with them. The crowd is going to be as neutral gets tonight, at least to start. And as you and I both know, in tournament play, Minnesota is going to garner a lot of fans tonight if they play well, because fans for Purdue and whomever will rally around the lower-seeded team every single time. You and I both know that.
Yeah.
Okay? The Lady Lions certainly had the fans and the juice on Sunday. What about playing in this, quote, neutral environment that eventually could turn against them if the game's close?
Especially the way Penn State has been playing lately, winning 7 in a row, and people know how good they've been and how tough they'll be to beat. Just like in the NCAA tournament, everyone loves to see an upset. The one thing that Penn State has going for it, Alex Bentley is an Indianapolis kid. So she should draw some fans tonight to see where Alex is, especially because of the dynamic player that she was throughout her high school career, and now she is with Penn State. So that should draw some fans to Penn State. Also, talking with some of the athletic department higher-ups who have been here before, the reception for the team when they got here, they said it was one of the largest ones they've seen in years. So Penn State does have some support here, but you do not want to get off to a bad start and get people rallying behind Minnesota. That's the last thing that you can afford, especially if Minnesota starts to shoot the ball like they did last night. But Penn State's defense is much different than Wisconsin's. I would be shocked to see Minnesota shoot the way they did last night again today.
Penn State up front will have to deal with the Minnesota front line. Brian, what is your opinion of the matchup between the Minnesota front line and what the Lady Lions bring to the table in the front line?
I think it all depends on if Katie Loberg can go tonight for Minnesota. She went last night, did not play Sunday at the Jordan Center. So how much has her health changed over a 5-6 day span? She went last night, she saw some minutes, but they sat her out. She played 8 minutes. They yanked her out of the game, keep her fresh for today once that game was in hand. She's 6'4", she can score, she can rebound. I think she's at 9 points per game, and that's just a tougher matchup for Nikki Green and Talia East, whoever's in for Penn State, Mia Nixon. It gives Minnesota a lot more depth on the inside, because what we saw Sunday, Minnesota's running out 6'1", 6'2", in the interior. Penn State had its way with that. So Loberg's a starter. She's been a starter all year long, and she's very important for Minnesota. If she goes, I don't think she'll be at 100%. But it still is that extra body on the inside. And if you take Loberg out, Minnesota will play physical. They're hard-nosed, but it's not a favorable matchup for them. It's a favorable matchup for Penn State. Green, Nixon, much more skilled than Roche on the inside.
Let's talk about the confidence level. You alluded to it in your initial answer. They went to shoot around today. You only get 30 minutes of the building. I mean, that's it. It's quick. Just enough to get a feel for the background, get a feel for the rims. And the shooting background, by the way, at the field house is fabulous. The sight lines are great in this building. It's on top of you. What was your feeling watching them in shoot around today as to how they are and how loose they are?
They look really loose and confident. I think their understanding of the situation here and what there is to gain but also understanding that they've been here before. They reached the championship last year, lost to Ohio State. You can tell that there are a lot of people who enjoy playing basketball and enjoy the competition on this team. They're not going to back down. Confident would be probably a good word to describe this bunch right now, just because of the way they're shooting the ball well. They're happy to have Marissa Wolf back. It looks like Ariel Edwards will be back soon as well. And a lot of credit has to go to Coquise Washington. She just allows the team to continue to work hard, yet still have a good time doing it. And I know we've talked about that over the last couple of weeks with the wrestling team as well. That's important, because this time of the year you do not want to get overwhelmed by the situation. And I don't think these girls are at all.
That will next bring up, we talked Coquise Washington ended up being, and justifiably so, the Big Ten Coach of the Year. She now has her program firmly in place where every player in the program is somebody that she recruited. I want to bring up the staff now, her assistants. Give us an idea the job that they have done and the relationship they have with their units on the floor.
Well, she's developed a great staff around her. Fred Shamil, he's more of the scout guy, high energy, high tempo at practice. He'll be in the girls' spaces, very energetic. And she also has a former player in Martin Walseth on the staff. I think that's key. She played at Penn State in the early 2000s, very intelligent, basketball savvy, and an interior person. And then Kia Damon works inside with the low post as well. So in terms of her assistant coaches, they're all very comfortable with this system. This is not anyone's first year. And I think the girls get along great with each of the assistants because they each know their role. Coquise is the silent leader. At times she'll bark at them just like any other head coach, but they have a great respect for her, but they also have a great respect for the assistants who really buy into the system as well. That's really important. You have to have the players knowing who they can go to, who they trust, and it seems like they really trust all of them. And also the support staff with the team is just fantastic. Everyone knows what the goals are and does their part to help. Strength coaches, everything.
Now let's get to her role in all this. You alluded a little bit to where she stands, but she's been the architect of this. This has not been something where she's gone to somebody else. In fact, I thought she did a great job, in fact, on the TV show The Journey the other night on the Big Ten Network, talking about Nick Colella and recalling Nick Colella being a practice player and how proud they are of him, the fact that he went on and played men's basketball. The interview with her showed me so much about her. Her statements near the end of the season about getting support from so many others and how she supports everybody else. What do you think, Brian, that has meant for the overall tenor of the athletic department, that in a position where she has now achieved a great goal and done so through very hard work, that she's now taking the time to make everybody included?
I think that's just the way she is. With the team, with the group that travels to each game with us, the travel party, she tries to make everyone feel welcome and feel like they are a part of something bigger. The girls on the team realize it's been a tough year for Penn State, and they know they're not only representing Lady Lion basketball, they're representing Penn State University and the Penn State Athletic Department. And she tries to bring a family feel to the team and the people that are with the team, whether it's through her kids running around at practice or just the way that everyone has a great communication and seems to get along really well. And I think she's doing that in a part to help these girls grow, but also because she understands how important this season is because of how talented and how successful they've been. The entire athletic department, and she wants everyone to feel like they are a part of it, because in some way they are. Whether you're just coming as a fan, this is Penn State. Penn State in women's basketball is the Big Ten champs. It's not Coquise Washington and just 10 players on the team.
She was a point guard at Notre Dame. She was a point guard in the WNBA. Point guard to point guard, how well does she relate to Alex Bentley? And at the same time, how tough is she on Alex Bentley, because she knows the position and also understands how much Alex can bring to the position.
Well, I know you see this with Pat Chambers and Tim Frazier, but she is the toughest on Alex Bentley as any other player on this team. Alex has so much potential, and she just wants Alex to live up to that potential because she knows she needs her as the floor general out there. So she is tougher on Alex, but Alex has a great mentor in Coquies because of what Coquies succeeded with during her playing days. And Alex plays like Coquies. You see that with players all the time. They start to resemble, and a team gets its head coach's mentality out there on the floor. And Alex is one of the people on this team that's very vocal, very energetic. Today is the most energetic I've seen her in a while. She has a fire underneath her feet today. She's ready to go, and I think she gets that from her head coach.
And, of course, being at the hometown as well, that makes a big difference. The thought now of potential, you have to take it. There's no doubt you take it one game at a time. You have no choice because this is now, starting today officially, survive in advance. That's what it is. You survive in advance at this stage. Still, early on in a game where you're potentially the favorite, when you have watched her coach games in the past where she has built a margin in one of the early round games, do you see her utilizing the bench a little bit more to buy some minutes because the potential is to play the next day?
Well, the great thing today is that bench finally gets one person bigger with Marissa Wolf coming back for this weekend. So instead of having just eight players where you really don't have that many options, Marissa comes back and she can play a three, she can play a four. She's a really good shooter for a forward. She's got great touch. And I would expect Penn State to use her if they do get that margin. And again, we talked about it before, jumping out early is important to keep the Minnesota fans quiet and the fans who rally around Minnesota quiet. But it's also important, again, to rest some starters. I told you earlier what Minnesota did yesterday, what Michigan State did yesterday in terms of resting their players. It's important because this is going to be, if you're going to Sunday and you're going to win Sunday, you have to have fresh legs somewhere along the way. And if Michigan State and Purdue, both of those teams, if you're facing them tomorrow, it's not going to be a blowout. Just that's the way it is when Penn State plays Michigan State or Penn State plays Purdue. It's tooth and nail, and you're fighting down to the end. So any minutes that Coquies can buy today are extremely important. But in terms of post players, yeah, she can rest them. She does not have a whole lot of depth at the guard position. Maggie Lucas, Alex Bentley, they're still probably going to play 30 minutes today, even if the game is in hand early.
That's Brian Tripp, the analyst for the Lady Line Basketball Radio Network. The Lady Lions at 6 tonight will take on Minnesota in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
Why choose Evenlink? Here's why. Even faster access, even better customer service, and even lower prices. Switch from expensive cable to Evenlink's TV, phone, and internet service. Get high-speed internet, all digital TV, plus your local channels with free high def. Add unlimited phone service, plus keep your same number. Packages starting from $75 per month. All three from $75 per month total, plus tax. Why pay more? It's the same TV stations, the same web pages, and the same phone service, but from Evenlink. For a lot less money. You could save $1,000 per year when you switch. Don't wait. Start saving today. No phone line in the house? Don't worry. Evenlink has the technology to bring you DSL only to the home. Call today and Evenlink will waive the $35 installation fee too. That's right. Free installation. A friendly, helpful, and local company for over 15 years. Evenlink. Even faster access. Even better customer service. Even lower prices. Call Evenlink at 988-1800. That's 988-1800 for Evenlink.
Sherry Hill, Elise, Giovanni, and Flirt. All the best names for prom at the best place. Bride's Bouquet in downtown Selinsgrove. This prom season, rock your style with beads, bling, and ball gowns. Shop at Bride's Bouquet and you will dazzle your date and your friends. Receive 10 to 20% off any in-stock prom gowns all month long. Bride's Bouquet has everything you can think of to make your style the ultimate in prom awesome. Bride's Bouquet, say yes to the best.
It's income tax refund time. Have you considered using it for some home enhancements, something that will be enjoyed for years to come?
At Dale Wolf Custom Kitchens and Baths, we will help you get the most value for your money. Whether it's cabinets or countertops, we are here to help.
Always free estimates. Always personalized service. Dale Wolf Custom Kitchens and Baths.
Visit our Herndon showroom on Route 225, a quarter mile past the Lime Mountain High School, or on the web at DaleWolfKitchens.com. And like us on Facebook.
Weekdays from 10 a.m. till noon, join Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's something you got to think about. Who would play you in a movie?
Jason Bateman. Not that I had that answer ready.
And you're about what? Are you 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'3".
I'm not sure what he is, but most actors you see on television, you think they're 6 foot and they're like 5'6".
They're stumpy. Who would you, I'm thinking? Dude. For you. Jason Statham.
Statham, that's what I was going to say. Right.
Dan will talk all things sports and more. Dan Patrick, weekdays 10 till noon and again from 7 to 10 p.m. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
Stop number one in Indianapolis in the Big Ten Women's Tournament. It's quarterfinal day. The Lady Lions are absolute favorites. Heading into it, they're the number one seed. And we heard from Brian Tripp, the color analyst for the Lady Lion Radio Network. Next stop will be West Lafayette, Indiana. We'll join Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. He's on hand at Mackey Arena, where the Big Ten Wrestling Championships will go underway tomorrow. And after Sarah Bartlett and the news at the bottom of the hour, we will hear from him. Then it's men's basketball just after 4. We'll hear from Cam Woodyard and Billy Oliver, and then John Stroh from WHVL-TV. And you'll also see Blue-White Tailgate in Wilkes-Barre, which is shown in the Sunbury area as well. He's the executive producer of all that. You'll have him at 4:30 today. Doing okay there?
I'm just tagging along for the ride. This is great. The lineup is just, I'm just listening in for the lineup.
I want to make sure that you're included at least in some point in the show. I mean, I don't care if you just come out, take a quick bow, nod, something.
I already did. That was the first 3 minutes of the program.
It was a very strong 3 minutes for you.
Thank you.
Now, you notice that we have built in, though, here to the broadcast facility of champions here at the Chateau. We always have room for Sarah Bartlett and the news. Why? Because she's great. We'll come back with Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling at the Big Ten Championships, after the news.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Annapolis, now we go to beautiful West Lafayette, where I was just 48 hours ago, and joined Jeff Byers, the voice of Penn State Wrestling and one of the finest in the nation at his job. Jeff, welcome. It was 71 in West Lafayette when I left on Wednesday. What's it like now?
It is pretty nice, except for the rain. There's storms that are moving in, and it's going to chill off a bit, I guess, tomorrow. But temperature-wise, it's a pretty nice day. We're in the low 60s today, so not too shabby.
Not shabby at all. All right, let's get to the wrestling championship. I have to ask, in Mackey Arena, how can they do this? That's what baffled me. We kept looking out and saying to ourselves, they can't put eight mats in there. unless they put them in the concourse.
Well, they'll play, yeah, it'll be four mats for the Big Ten championships, and they will have them configured so they're kind of end to end in the middle of the arena. But it'll be I think it'll be interesting to see the configuration. We haven't been over it yet. The team's going to go over here in just a couple of hours for their workout, and we'll get our first look at it then. But it's I think we'll be able to pull it off okay.
Well, I know they'll be able to pull it off okay. It's just when you sit there and you look at the tight quarters of the building, you say to yourself, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure you can do this? Oh, yeah, we can do this. Okay. I sort of believe you. All right. Let's get to the Big Tens. Last year, Penn State won the Big Ten championship. They're the defending champion. All of us know that. They're the defending national champions. Now, the national championship certainly dominates all, but give us a read, Jeff, on what it was like a year ago to break through and actually win this one.
It was really big. I think, in looking back on it now, I really think the confidence that this team gained by winning the Big Ten championship, and it wasn't just that Penn State won the Big Ten championship, it was the way which Penn State did it, and Cal has talked about that a couple of times throughout the course of this season, as to just how important that was to maybe set that bar a little higher and maybe kind of drill home to each of these kids, because you talk about it all the time, the importance of every bout, every match, every point is important in a tournament like this. And boy, there was just no better illustration than the Big Ten tournament a year ago, because Penn State ends up winning by a single point. The Nittany Lions reeled off nine consecutive victories to end the tournament, went 7-0 on the final day in the final round of the championships, with the consolation finals and the championships. And ultimately, even with all of that, they still needed Cameron Wade to not only get a win would have just tied Penn State with Iowa for the championship last year, but Cameron Wade in that fifth place match after a little bit of a disappointing tournament goes out, gets the major decision that gives Penn State an extra team point, and the Nittany Lions end up beating the Hawkeyes by a point. So I really think last year's Big Ten tournament in a lot of different ways has propelled this program to where it is now, which is the really the envy of the college wrestling world. And this is a team that I think clearly does understand that it needs every wrestler wrestling every bout to his utmost. And I think that that is in the back of these guys' minds as they go into this weekend, is just you know, how close that Big Ten tournament was a year ago. And I think it speaks volumes as to the how tough this tournament is to win. In a lot of ways, I think it is tougher to win this Big Ten tournament than even nationals, because once you get to the quarterfinals on in here at the Big Tens, it's pretty competitive, and there just aren't as many opportunities to separate yourself as there are at the national tournament, because you have a couple of earlier rounds, and a lot of times you'll see the exceptional kids, the David Taylors, the Ed Ruths of the world, go out and pick up big bonus points in those first couple of rounds. That isn't always the case here at the Big Ten tournament, because you're usually running into pretty stiff competition within your second or third match.
Jeff, when you look at Penn State, you talked about the obvious scorers on this team. David Taylor can score big. We know that Ed Ruth can score big. Where are the concerns where they're worried that they might not be able to get enough points out of a certain weight class?
The big concern, really, Steven, I think they feel pretty good, they being the coaching staff, feel pretty good about their situation in 9 of the 10 weights. And I know some fans maybe would question 141, where Brian Pearsall's record isn't stellar, 12-10, but 6 of those losses are to guys ranked in the top 6 in the country, and he's been competitive in all but 2 of his bouts throughout the season. And Pearsall has continued to fight. It hasn't been a lack of confidence with him. So I think he's in okay shape. Now, whether or not he'll qualify for the tournament, play from the top 5, yeah, we'll find out. I'm not going to tell you that's guaranteed, but you know you're going to get a supreme effort from him. You know you're going to get everything he has, and you know, I think they're willing to let the chips fall where they may there. The real concern is at 133, where Frank Martellotti ended the season with a 6-match losing streak. He's really the only wrestler on this team that goes into the tournament with a losing streak. let them slip away, and I think that's kind of eroded his confidence a little bit. They've really worked with him in the last 2 weeks just on the mental side of it. If you get in on a takedown attempt, finish it. Don't let that opportunity slip away. If you're up by a point, they've really worked with him on the baseline defense. You're not going to give up that point with 30 seconds left in a match, no matter what. And I think he's wrestling with a little more confidence. I thought he looked good in the room yesterday when the team stopped for its workout midway through the bus trip from St. Collins to Lafayette. And I think Martellotti is in as good a frame of mind as he could be in, given the way he finished the season. But I really think he's the only real concern going into this weekend as far as his confidence and not being sure that you're going to get what the kid is capable of giving you at this tournament. And I think that's he's the real challenge right now for this coaching staff going into the weekend.
What are his capabilities if he's in the right mental frame of mind?
No, I tell you, Steve, I really think, and I'm not sure he even understands how good he is, because Cale has said a couple of times he thinks Martellotti is capable of being an All-American this year, that he has that type of ability. And he's when he's on, he's a very tenacious guy from the neutral position. I mean, he is a real battler, a good scrambler. He's a solid guy on top, and you know, if there's an area that he needs to continue to work on, it is getting out from underneath the good rides of solid opponents. But in two of the three phases, I think he's right there, but he just has to trust himself and believe in what he can do, because he does have some very good skills. I mean, I watched him last year, Steve, as Andrew Long was getting ready for the postseason. Martellotti was his workout partner a lot of the days, and a lot of the days Martellotti was right there with him. I mean, they were exchanging takedowns. It was a one-point match either way, and that's why I think the hopes were so high for Martellotti this season, and he got off to such a good start, and then all of a sudden he lost a couple of bouts by 10 against very top-notch competition, and just from that point on he's just struggled to kind of get back over the hump here. And but we'll see. I think if he can get a win, and he'll have a first-round bye here at the tournament, and then he'll likely face the number one seed, Logan Stieber, who pinned him in the regular season. But it's after that, hopefully he goes out and gives a good accounting of himself against Stieber. But if he can then in the WrestleBacks get a win, I just feel like if he can just get over the hump and get a win, he's going to be able to put a couple together here and get himself into the national tournament.
We're with Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. He's in West Lafayette, where the Nittany Lions are preparing for the Big Ten tournament. They'll be going out for their workout at Mackey Arena in just a couple of hours. And then, of course, tomorrow the competition gets underway. When you look at the seedings in the Big Ten, anything surprise you at all from any team, not just Penn State?
Not really. I think that the seeds went pretty much as you would expect. It's a little bit more difficult this year with the 12 teams, and obviously not all of the teams are facing each other during the season. So a couple of spots where I think there were arguments to be made one way or the other. Penn State, maybe you could argue, got the benefit of the doubt at 125, where Nico Megalutis got the 3 seed over Jesse Delgado of Illinois. He was the 4 seed. They didn't wrestle each other during the season, so you kind of had to weigh everything out. And you can make an argument either way. I think ultimately kind of the overall resume for Megalutis and the number of quality opponents he beat along the way ended up giving him the slight edge there. And I think that's... certainly from Penn State's perspective, they got the seeding right. Logan Stieber's the 1 seed for Ohio State at 33, and he got the win over Ramos. Both those guys are certainly capable of not only winning Big Ten titles but national titles this season. And again, I think you'd flip a coin between those two as to who the 1 seed should be. But there's nothing here that you're looking at and scratching your head trying to figure out how the coaches could have possibly made the seeds they did. I think everything pretty much falls in line and makes sense given the regular season results.
This is a big stage, and the Big Ten Wrestling Championship is a big stage. The Nittany Lions have been the show in college wrestling, and they're the big stage anytime they go anywhere to wrestle. Does that play into the psyche of this wrestling team as they get ready for the big stage of the Big Tens?
Yeah, I think it does. And to me, Steve, this is one of the things that's been really impressive about Cale Sanderson and this staff. You know, his older brother, Cody, he relies on a great deal for input and how to put together the practice plan for the entire season. And they really spent a lot of time in the off season trying to look back at what they've learned in each of the previous seasons and put together a plan, you know, just in terms of the schedule, the way they put the schedule together, in terms of the practices and how they want to work the practices, when they want to do their strength training and all of it. I mean, they really are very methodical with the way they approach all of it. But the big thing to me is that this team, and it's a reflection of the coaching staff, they embrace this idea that they are the big show in wrestling, that they are the team to beat. And, you know, you've seen teams over the years, certainly, that get a little tight, a little bit leery of a top ranking like that, or being the team that everybody's gunning for. And this squad, and it's really a credit to Cale, they embrace it. I mean, Cale every day puts up little notes in the wrestling room: smile, enjoy the day, don't enter this room unless you're in a good mood. I mean, there are things like that, and you know, on one hand they're almost goofy, on the other hand it gets these guys in that right frame of mind. They see that positive reinforcement all around them every day that they step into the wrestling room, and it is a loose team. They are a fun-loving group. They don't spend a lot of time when they're not on the mat talking about wrestling or you know, getting weighed down on what the expectations are. They'll goof around, they'll talk with each other about all kinds of other activities, and I think that in the long run that this team just uses that that relaxed mindset to go out there and perform at the top level. And this team, I'll tell you, I just I don't know that I've seen a team brimming with more confidence than what I saw yesterday when we stopped at the University of Findlay on the way out here for the workout. It's just a team that is enjoying the opportunity that's in front of it here to go out and win another Big Ten title and then hopefully win a second straight national championship.
We're with Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, joining us from West Lafayette, where the Nittany Lion wrestling team begins the defense of its Big Ten championship tomorrow at Mackey Arena. We talked about the Cale Sanderson. One of my favorite stories, it was from last year. Quentin Wright had been hurt, wasn't going well, and he walked by him in the wrestling room and he said, "Ah, Quentin Wright, national champion." And the doggone kid went out and won the national championship. Can you give us an idea for a guy that has had nothing but success in the sport? I mean, nothing but success. To coach people who haven't had the success he's had, and it's not as, quote, easy as it's been for him. And I'm not saying what he did was easy, but when you win like that, you must be doing something, you know, all the time. For him to have the ability to push buttons, based on the fact he probably didn't have to have a lot of buttons pushed for him, what does that tell you about him as a coach and his maturity as a coach, considering his personal success? Because it's not always translated across the board that you were a great in this particular sport, you'll be a great coach. I mean, and we can give you countless examples of the professional level, yet he is.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things that come into play there. And one, Steve, is just the respect that he automatically garners. I mean, there is not a kid in the sport anywhere, and certainly not on this roster, that doesn't look to Cale Sanderson and you know, if Cale Sanderson tells them to do something, that they know. I mean, they know in their heart that he has their best interest in at heart and that he is doing right by them. And there is just an inherent trust with the success that he's had that comes with that when he walks into the room. But I really, the thing that I like the most about, and it's not just Cale, it's this coaching staff, Cody and Casey Cunningham and Aaron Onspach, they go out of their way to make sure that each kid is himself, feels comfortable with his personality being on this team and with his development as a wrestler and as a person. And I think in terms of the wrestling part of it, they really do. It is not one of those things where, okay, Kale Sanderson's great with the ankle picks, so Penn State's going to be great with the ankle picks. Come here and watch Kale. This is how we do the ankle pick. Now, certainly he's going to show you the ankle pick. These kids are going to pick up on it, a lot of them. But it is a lot. You know, you look at a Frank Molinaro, a completely different style of wrestling from an Ed Ruth. A Quentin Wright, a completely different style from what you might see from a Cameron Wade. Kale wants these kids to develop with the skills that they have, the strengths that they have, and obviously they're going to work on the weaknesses and try to get them into strengths as well. But it is not a cookie-cutter approach. It is, hey, you are great at this at high school. Let's see if we can tweak it, make sure it works for you at the collegiate level, and then we'll start adding to your game, seeing if we can make some adjustments here and there. You know, to me, there's no the two kids that really stand out to me this season, and listen, this whole roster has gotten better, and we can go through individually, and I can tell you exactly how they've gotten better. But Nico Megalutis, at the start of the season, pretty good. I mean, he was a really good high school wrestler, and he was pretty good. He got in on the single leg, did a pretty good job with the finish. Well, opponents started to figure out, okay, this kid, he gets in on the single leg, and he had a particular finish that he liked to use. Well, they started adding to it. And Nico is a sponge. I mean, he's a lot like David Taylor. You tell him something once, and he seemingly perfects it by the next day. But he started making the adjustments. He started finishing a different way on the single leg. He started adding a double leg. He started doing a little more with his movement to get different angles into opponents. And all of a sudden, opponents that thought they had him pretty well scouted, well, now he's hitting you with a whole another series of moves. And he's just kept adding to that arsenal throughout the course of the season. And it wasn't something that happened overnight. It was, hey, Nico, we think this, with your quickness and with the way you can reach out, this might work for you. Why don't we give this a shot? And you'd work on that for a couple of weeks. Then, hey, let's add this, because on top, you're pretty good, but if we get you up under that arm, get in tight here, maybe you can be a little bit better. And you've just seen that progression. I mean, it has just been so steady and so noticeable with Nico Megalutis, the freshman 25-pounder. And then Brian Pearsall, to me, is the great story on this team. I mean, this is a team that is filled with state champions, and most of the kids on the roster are multiple state champions. Brian Pearsall never won a state title. He didn't even place at the state tournament. He was a state qualifier his senior year. Now, he was a dangerous wrestler, had a lot of pins, had the most wins in Warwick high school history, but this is not a kid that came in with, you know, having Iowa and Oklahoma State and all the great teams after him. But this is a kid that came in and struggled. I mean, struggled mightily his freshman year, went 3-23, but he stuck with it, kept battling, kept improving, and last year got to the point where he was pretty good. And this year, you know, Steve, this is the kid that's given some of the top guys, top 10 ranked guys in the country, some real problems. And I think that is a tribute, obviously, to Brian and his work ethic, but I also think it's a real tribute to Kale Sanderson and the staff and the work and the time that they've put in with him to get the most out of this kid's ability during his collegiate career.
That's Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. Jeff, thanks so much. Appreciate the time you gave us. And he is in West Lafayette with the Big Ten Wrestling Championships. We'll get underway tomorrow at Mackey Arena. Penn State is the defending Big Ten champion. We'll come back with more on WKOK after this.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
So, you have a website for your business, but does it do everything you want it to? Or do you want a website? Are you looking for a site that offers many things, from simple information to integration with your current workplace or organization? Do you want to add a shopping cart to your online site so that you can make internet sales a part of your business? What about possibly updating your current site easily on your own without waiting for your website company to do it? You'll be glad to know that there's only one answer for all these questions: Better Business Solutions. Better Business Solutions can develop a website that can do all that and so much more. You need to have your website hosted? Do you want to show samples of your product from secure information? And perhaps the biggest question, do you have a name for your website? Again, there's just one name you need to know, and it'll answer all your questions. Better Business Solutions. They'll take care of everything, and all you need to do is call 275-5844 or visit them at their website, better-business-solutions.com. They have the solutions for your website questions at Better Business Solutions.
Columbia Mall would like to take this moment to remind you of all the great shopping they have there. It's a one-stop shopping experience where you'll find goods and services for the entire family. You'll find eye care, nail care, health care, and hair care. Then there's games, music, housewares, and body care. And, of course, sportswear, footwear, and plenty of clothing to wear. Columbia Mall is your hometown mall where you'll find everything you need for the family and more. And don't miss their fabulous monthly events. It's all right here in your own backyard. Yard at Columbia Mall. Columbia Mall, where great finds are easy to find.
Our thanks to Brian Tripp, the caller analyst for the Lady Lion Basketball Radio Network, who joined us from Indianapolis earlier to preview the Big Ten tournament. The Lady Lions play tonight in the quarterfinals against Minnesota. The other key game will be Michigan State against Purdue. That's after that one, because Penn State would get the winner of that game in the semifinals tomorrow should they be successful this evening. Our thanks to Brian for joining us from Indianapolis with that live update. And our thanks to Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, who joined us live from West Lafayette to preview the Big Ten Wrestling Championships. Coming up, we'll hear from Cam Woodyard and also Billy Oliver about Penn State basketball with the Nittany Lions playing Sunday against Michigan. We'll also hear from Sunbury's own John Stroh, who's made his mark as a TV producer, including the Blue White Tailgate Show, which is seen in our area. This has been a very, very strong hour for you.
It's been a very, very intriguing hour, actually.
It's been a strong hour for you.
I know where you're going with it. I know where you're going with it, because I've been quiet. I've been absorbing all of this. I've enjoyed it.
You've often been compared to a sponge.
What's the line? I'm not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
You're not the best color man in the league for nothing, Monty. Fun hour. I mean, it's very important in local radio that you take people to places where they can get the latest information that they would not normally get. I believe in the opening hour of this show, we've done exactly that, and our thanks to Brian Tripp and Jeff Byers for being a part of it. Coming up, second hour of the show, Billy Oliver, Cam Woodyard, John Stroh on WKOK. Sarah Bartlett with the news at the top of the hour.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.